All right, let's go ahead and start. Thank you for being here. Pick up your folder. Everybody got their folder? Need to come get it? I can hand it to you. Glad you're here tonight, and we're going to keep learning more about the place where Jesus lived and walked and served. More about Palestine. Ray, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for you, Lord, and you are why we're here, and your Son, your Holy Spirit is why we're here. And thank you for your guidance and direction you give our lives. And especially thank you for the love that we have for you and for each other brings us here tonight. Bless this class and help us to learn. Help us be alert. Thank you for Philip and preparation. And bless those who still may be traveling here. Bless those of our number who have challenges that are keeping them from here but want to be here. And help us to remember them. And please bless them, Father. People caring for them, it's a medical challenge like Sherman's and some other folks. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. So, here we go. So, remember the posters over here we did last week, the panels? There were some really good ones. They all were good. They all were good. Okay? No favorites here. They all were very good. If you haven't gone by and looked at all of them, do that because they're very creatively done. And so at the beginning of this class, just like the New Testament opens, our geographic focus, our geographic scope is on Palestine. Now, Palestine, that's the Roman name, okay? So this place, the New Testament opens up in its geographic scope on Palestine. But this term Palestine, you don't really find it in the New Testament. But during the days of the New Testament, that's the term that the Romans were beginning to use, and it stuck, and we still use it today. However, Palestine is roughly equivalent to what in the Old Testament? Matter of fact, two terms. Israel and Canaan. So first of all, you've got Canaan at the beginning of the Old Testament, the promised land, and then when the Israelites go into the land of Canaan, it is now known as Israel. And sometimes Jews in the first century would refer to this land still as Israel. It's not the most accurate expression, but historically now we call that Palestine. And that's how the New Testament opens up. Very narrow sliver there, focused on Palestine. Now, what we're going to do is spend two more lessons on Palestine and the geographic, the physical features of Palestine. And today we'll sort of get immersed into those physical features. Next week we'll go even deeper with it. So you've got a legal piece of paper in front of you. And we're going to go over together the main physical features of Palestine. I've got my labels in different colors. If you want to use different colors, that's great. If you want to use the same colors I'm using, I think it's red, brown, blue, green, sort of the basic colors. If you want to use your own colors or you want to just use plain pencil or black pen or something, that's fine. You make it the way it works for you. So basically, we're going to label this map, but you've got a pretty good sized map there because later on, you're going to add some information to each of these features. We've got seven physical features of Palestine we're going to introduce here, and then you're going to go more deeply with that information. When you're looking at maps, you can look at political information. It's a political map which shows boundaries of countries, shows cities and things like that, regions like Judea and Galilee. But we're looking at the physical features, mountains, valleys, rivers, lakes, seas, etc. And so we're going to go from west to east, and we're starting with the Mediterranean Sea. Mediterranean Sea was the sea in biblical times. Sometimes it's just known as the Great Sea or the Sea. Most likely in the Bible, if you have a reference to the sea outside the Gospels, it's talking about the Mediterranean. They did not travel on the Mediterranean as people travel on the Atlantic and Pacific and Indian Ocean today. They didn't navigate by the stars. They hugged the coast, or they caught prevailing currents to go from Europe down to Africa, etc. It's very simple sailing, and the vessels are fairly limited size. Going west to east, the next physical feature is what is called the coastal plain. This is a strip of land on the Mediterranean coast. And it goes up and down the Mediterranean coast. And since it's a plain, it's flat. And take a wild guess. What would the elevation be?
Sea level.
There you go. Basically sea level and gradually increasing. Now, while you're identifying the coastal plain, I want you to look at something that has really more Old Testament bearing than New Testament bearing. But New Testament bearing also, in a way. Look at that coastline. And if you want to look at your atlas, by the way, as we're doing this, page 27, somewhere like that would be good. Any map of Palestine will work if you want it in front of you. What do you notice about this coastal formation here? How is this coastline different than, let's say, the east coast of North Carolina or Virginia or Massachusetts? Joe? Exactly right. This coastline has virtually no natural harbors. There is a natural harbor in a way where Mount Carmel is, where the ancient city of Ko is. North of that, outside of Israel, Phoenicians had harbors. This is why Herod the Great built Caesarea and built an artificial harbor there, sort of like they did on D-Day when they made artificial harbors. And think about that. The Israelites were not seafaring people. Phoenicians were, Greeks were, later on in history, the Brits will be, Americans were. The Israelites were not seafaring people. The only real robust sea activity you see is during the days of Solomon, and they're using mostly Red Sea ports. Do you see what's going to happen to Israel? They're going to be more isolated. They're going to be less influenced by foreign countries and foreign people, except for the neighbors around them. As far as far-off influences, it's limited. And especially since, as we'll see in just a moment, a lot of people lived in hill country. So just stick that in the back of your mind and think about it. That's how God wanted them isolated. However, they are on a land bridge, right? Palestine is a land bridge between what continents? Africa, Europe, and Asia. But it's not a seafaring area. Okay, going west to east, the next place we want to identify are what's called the Central Highlands. And I think it would be fun. I know it's complicated, but I've got confidence you can pull off this great artistic feat. And that is, you can draw mountains in there. And here is the secret. I'm sure Les will appreciate this, being enlightened this way with my great idea about art. You just do an upside down V. So put mountains in roughly these locations. As you can see, these mountains right there on the screen, that's Judea. These mountains up in here is what is the area in the New Testament called Samaria, where Jews did not live, but rather Samaritans, like the woman at the well. And then there are mountains up in the Galilean area, which are all part of this Central Highlands area. Matter of fact, early in the Old Testament, the Israelites were known as the hill people. And especially in the days of the judges, their enemies controlled a lot of the coastal area and valleys and so forth. Now, you'll see there's a break in those mountains between Galilee and Samaria. This is Galilee, this is Samaria. Do you see that break right there? That's a very important valley called the Jezreel Valley. Of course, valleys would be great for what? Start clicking them off. What's valleys great for? Agriculture?
Battles.
Especially if you have chariots. Chariots don't do well in the mountains. Roads, passageways, trade routes, etc. Remember that. Battles, agriculture, trade routes. And then there's the Sea of Galilee, sometimes called the Sea of Tiberias, in the Old Testament called Kinnereth. Sea of Galilee is prominent in the Gospels, isn't it? When you think of Sea of Galilee, quickly, what do you think of? The fishing. The what, Frank? Jesus walking on the water. Calming the storms. Great catch of fish. And of course, several of the apostles, this is where they worked, because they were fishermen. Then there is the Jordan River and what is technically called the Rift Valley. And it's called the Rift Valley. Rift just basically means a cut or a valley. But this is such a deep valley, it's oftentimes called the Rift Valley. And this Rift Valley goes between Sea of Galilee to the north, and the water drains from the Sea of Galilee down through this valley called the Jordan River into the Dead Sea. Speaking of elevation, the Dead Sea is blank. Below sea level, matter of fact, how below sea level is it? It's the lowest place on earth, basically, on land. So it is very, very deep, way below sea level. So that tells you about the difference in the mountains and these valleys, how great it is. There is one more location, and it doesn't really factor in at a focal point for the New Testament. It does for the Old Testament. Remember Moses and the Moabites and the Ammonites and all those other ites over there on the other side of Jordan? Remember Manasseh wanting to be on the other side, Ephraim? So this part of the Jordan, this eastern part of the Jordan factors in the Old Testament, not so much in the New Testament, but it is important to New Testament times, and we'll see that later. But these are the Trans-Jordan Mountains. Now what happens after this is it sort of plateaus. It's high elevation, but it's a plateau after you get out of the mountains. And then it just drifts into this area here called the Arabian Desert, the largest desert on earth. So it goes into nothing after the Trans-Jordan Mountains. So those are the seven physical features of Palestine that I want you to see. Any questions on that real quickly? Now, going back to the first class, we said that geographic features regarding the narrative or the story of the Bible, the geographic features are just another what? Character. So let me give you an example of this here. How it's just another character. I don't want to leave this map too quickly here. Your atlas may help you a little bit. Page 22 is a good place to go to see these features. Most of these maps of Palestine in this atlas have these features if you look close enough. Okay, ready to go? I forgot to put my Transjordan Mountains up. There you go. I know you like doing that artwork. So put your Transjordan Mountains there. And there's a reason I want you to do that, because I want you to get a feel for the low place that the Jordan River Valley is and then how the mountains play out to the sea on the Mediterranean. So put your mountains in there. You can put more than I've got. That's fine. So everybody's got their mountains. Good-looking mountains here. Wow. Excellent. Ooh, Becca, they look good. How did you do that? Okay. So let's talk about this aspect of how that geographic features are another character. Oh, by the way, let me throw this map up. I really like this map. I found this in an atlas that I have, and I had to scan it, so it's not great resolution. But this is like you're in an airplane about where Jordan is today or close to Saudi Arabia. About where Saudi Arabia begins, and you're looking back over Palestine, and do you see the mountains, the Central Highlands and the Transjordan Mountains? You see how deep this river valley is from Galilee, Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. Do you see the coastal plain right here? And see how smooth that is without natural harbors. So I'm going to give you a copy of that next week to work with what you're working with. So I love that perspective because it just really shows you the elevation. You see the Jezreel Valley right in there too. See it? Between Galilee and Samaria. So let's talk about how physical features are a character or influencer in the biblical narrative. This is just an example of what we've just been talking about. Let's talk about the Mediterranean Sea in the New Testament. Look on Atlas page 27. That's a good place to look. That will help you a little bit. And then I want you to turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Next, the last chapter in the book of Acts. In Jerusalem, Paul had been seized by a mob of Jewish countrymen who were upset with him. The Romans took him into protective custody. He eventually is sent down to Caesarea, which is on the coast, which is the harbor city that Herod built. That's the Roman provincial capital. He's put in protective custody. He goes through a series of trials. Eventually, he appeals to Caesar. And so, the Roman governor is going to send him to Caesar. And so, he is put on a ship in Caesarea, and they begin to make their way across the Mediterranean. Now, this is an all-purpose vessel, not a dedicated one. So, there were a lot of passengers on it, and there was cargo on it. The Roman centurion just commissioned this boat and paid for sea passage. So, Acts chapter 27 tells us that they're setting sail and they reach the island of Crete, which is right here. All right, Acts 27, 7 and 8. Rick, do you have that? 7 and 8, please.
And when we had sailed slowly for a good many days and with difficulty had arrived off Cnidus, since the wind did not permit us to go farther, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone, and with difficulty sailing past it, we came to a certain place called Fair Haven, near which was the city of Lycia.
All right. These ships operated by sails. They had rowing, but it was very limited what they could do with rowing, and they're hitting a headwind. So they're trying to go on the south side of Crete and push forward, but they're hitting obstinate weather. This was common. Here's why. Rick, can you read verse 9?
And when considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even then the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them.
Okay, late in the year. Fast is over means it's late in the year. So now Paul is saying, hey, we don't know about this. Read verse 12 to 15 now.
And because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there, if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. And when a moderate south wind came up, supposing that they had gained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete close inshore. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called Euryclo. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along.
Paul had warned we should not go any further. Why? What's coming? What time of the year is coming? Winter. You see that? But the Roman officer wanted to press on, and they had a temporary favorable wind, and he thought they could make it, and so they get off the coast out into the sea. And then what does the wind do? The wind becomes contrary to them and basically blows them away from Crete. He was trying to reach the very western tip of Crete, which would be a good wintering place mentioned there in that text. But they get back out to sea and they can't make it to the western tip of Crete, and they're blown out into the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And over the next chapter, you've got Paul's sea adventure here, including a shipwreck adventure. So you see what happened here? You really can't travel in the Mediterranean with these navigational techniques and these ships in the winter. The seas are too difficult. Usually, it's a terrible ending if you go out in the Mediterranean very far in the wintertime. Paul experienced that firsthand. Now, they end up surviving, but I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at the connection and look how that geography, again, plays a part in influencing what's happening. Look in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 7. This is later in Paul's life. He's already gone to Rome to be in prison there. He's there about 2 years. He's released, and then he's taken back into Roman custody at a later date. We don't know how long. It's a few years later. He's back in Rome. But according to what he writes in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 7, what does he say is about to happen to him? His end is near. He's going to be executed. He's fought the good fight. It's about over for him. But he's got Timothy he's trying to help and teach and encourage, and he needs Timothy to help him since he's, you know, sequestered in Rome. Look at verse 9 to 3. What was that? That should be verse 9 to 13. There's a 1 missing there. 9 to 13. Look down through verse 9 to 13. 9 to 13. What is Paul practically telling Timothy to do? Name something he's telling Timothy, some message, some request he has of Timothy. He wants his cloak. He's cold. He wants a cloak. Come quickly. Bring the books and parchments. That's right. Bring Mark to me. He's got all these specific things he's saying. Look down in verse 21. What's the last command or instruction that he gives Timothy? Come before winter. We don't know exactly where Timothy is here. There's a good chance he's still in Ephesus, which is here. It's implied he's somewhere where he's going to come to Rome by ship. So why does he tell Timothy, come before winter?
This Bible character named the Mediterranean is going to be difficult in the winter.
Right. And if he doesn't come before winter, he's going to have to catch a ship after winter. And by then, what? Paul may not be alive. Do you see how the geography is a character here? Both with Paul in Acts 27 and with Paul and Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's the point. Here's what the character called geography does. The physical features provide either an opportunity, like Paul getting to Rome, which he wanted to do to preach the gospel, by ship. Or it provides a limitation, like storms on the sea. Sometimes a mountain's a great place to go up and pray, or to get on the side of a mountain and teach people. But sometimes you're trying to get to point A to point B and the mountain's in the way. So the geographic features shape the story. They affect what people do and what they don't do. And when you make yourself aware of that, it's just another layer of biblical understanding. And it helps it to come alive. All right, any questions on that, little demonstration? I don't know how I got such imbalanced things here. But anyway, it's all right. Yeah, Joe.
Was there a land route that they could take during the winter?
Yeah, they could. It just was so much longer. And the roads got real muddy. Some roads got muddy. Now, the main major routes, the Roman routes, were semi-paved, and you could work those in the wintertime. But a lot of the routes got really rough to travel on. But it just, you know, even up through the, you know, it's... If you want to go somewhere swiftly and efficiently, swiftly or with carrying a lot of cargo, it's always by water, rivers, lakes, and seas until the 19th century and you got the railroad, and the 20th century when you get airplanes. So for most of human history, you're trying to move efficiently on water. And that is all through the New Testament, even more than the Old Testament. Because the New Testament, you got Jesus in this one little place. And then the book of Acts, it blows up and it goes everywhere. Isn't that interesting? The geographic scope at the beginning of the New Testament is very narrow. The geographic scope in the book of Acts and the letters blows up. It's very broad. And sea travel is critical to that in Acts and the letters. Any other questions? Comments? Okay, so let's get a better handle on this. So, let's go deeper about these physical features of Palestine. So, Jesse, you're head of that table. Earl, you're leading that table. Rick, that table. Ray, your table. Daryl, Les, and Ken. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. You've got a supplement sheet under your caddy or your basket. There's about 3 copies of this supplement sheet. You've got an assigned physical characteristic. It might be coastal plain. It might be the central highlands. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look over this handout, this supplement. I have highlighted some things for you and bolded some things. And the table leader lead in getting this done. There are 3 things I want you to put on your Palestine map. If it's about the Jordan River or if it's about the Sea of Galilee, I want you to add this information. First of all, describe the feature. So say something about the Mediterranean Sea. Say something about the coastal plain. Doesn't have to be much. Make it short and simple. Short and simple. Kiss it. Keep it simple, sweetie. Okay? Got to keep a positive vibe going here. Say something about the elevation. You're like, why is that important? We're not going to be hung up on details like that. I want you to look, see if you can find something about the elevation. Look for what's highlighted. Look for what's bold. Listen up, and I'm going to turn you loose in just a second. And then third of all, what's the significance in the New Testament? There's something said in the supplement. Maybe I have some scriptures or I have something highlighted. How is this geographic feature, like the Central Highlands, how are they important in the New Testament? Now, table number 7, I'll come up there and explain yours. Yours is a little unique, okay? I'll help you with that look on your face, Natalie. Okay. All right, any questions? Keep it really simple. Just add a few points about the description, what it's like, the elevation, and its connection to the New Testament. Any questions? Keep it really simple. Just some kind of brief description. You can make a bullet list, just a sentence or two. Approximate the elevation. You may, well, what if the elevation changes? That's okay. Give a range. Like the Central Highlands, they vary. But there's something in there about how much they vary. And then how is this connected to the New Testament? So that's who has what there. So just real quickly, label that feature that you've been assigned at your table. Label a little more information there. Don't go crazy with it. Keep it simple. And the table leaders, Jesse, Earl, Rick, Ray, Daryl, Ken, and Les, you really need to make sure you know yours. Here's what we're going to do next. Just like Jesus sent out the apostles. The table leader, you're going to go to the next table and you're going to share and show what you've got on your feature. So they're going to share with you some additional information about their geographic feature. Now, note that when Jesse comes, it's actually not a feature we've talked about, but rather the main routes through Palestine, which has a bearing on the New Testament in place of going deeper on the Transjordan Mountains. 65. So just simply share real quickly with that group, and then we're going to keep moving until you get back to your group. So you're just going to take about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and do that. All right, ready to go? Go. Go to the next table. So show them your map. Share what you've got on that feature. Okay, one more shift. One more, and you'll be back to your home base. You're getting back close to Antioch. Okay, you can move on if you're done. It's clear that Rick is a scholar on the Sea of Galilee. Ray is a guru on the Jezreel Valley. You see, when you go over that over and over, you really know. So the table leaders really got the advantage there. Now, the disadvantage you table leaders have is you haven't filled out the rest of your map. So you're specialists, not generalists. But if you want to look at somebody else's and copy, that would be great. Okay, any quick takeaways before we wrap up? Any quick takeaways or impressions from doing that? What strikes you when you look at these features? Impressions, takeaways. Anybody? Earl, you about to say something?
Well, you could kind of visualize where some of the events of the Bible took place in these valleys, on these mountains, in these rivers, in these seas, the Mediterranean Sea. And you can see Galilee, you know, being familiar with the text, we've read the text many times, but you put what you know about the text on the map.
Gospels, it's about mountains and hills and bodies of water, Jordan River, Sea of Galilee. Balance. Book of Acts is about the sea and cities. The sea and cities, that's one way to scope it too. But yeah, it really does bring it to the forefront of your thinking. And now we keep reading about Jesus in the Gospels. Hopefully some of these incidents, like now in Matthew, you know, it'll make it more clear to you. Okay, all right, that'll do it for today.